Well, babe, you're officially a mom.
And you're officially a dad.
So my wife, Angela, is definitely my favorite blogger and YouTuber extraordinaire. And she's a pretty amazing wife, I must add.
And my guess is that a lot of you may have seen my husband, Matt, on TV or in the movies Wyatt from Timeless, Liam from 90210, anyone? Chicago from Pitch Perfect 3. I mean, he's bringing the sexy.
All right. So if you guys didn't know, Angela and I created a podcast called Hello Bump to chronicle our journey as expecting first-time parents.
We really just started it for something for us to look back on, but we ended up really loving our weekly chat.
Yeah, so much so that we couldn't stop there. I mean, now is the fun part, right? Now is the payoff for the 9 months of pregnancy. Now is where our life begins.
We have a brand new beautiful baby girl, and we are so in love.
And we want you guys to come on this new journey with us of figuring out, frankly, how to raise this little thing.
We know it's going to be tough at times, but we also know the rewards are great.
We're going to be chatting week to week about the joys and the struggles of learning how to do this parenting thing.
I'm pretty sure we're going to mess up a lot.
But from every mistake comes a lesson that we can pass on to you. So join us in this wild ride as we undertake our newest challenge, parenthood.
Hello, baby.
Hello, baby. I'm Matt Lanter.
I'm Angela Lanter.
We have this podcast called Hello, Baby. Thanks for listening, tuning in, or downloading, or
just being here.
Clicking, or just being here. We appreciate you. And so this podcast is called Hello, Baby. We have a 15-month-old. Actually, by the time you hear this, she's going to be a little older daughter. And we've been documenting our whole experience being parents.
Mm-hmm. And we documented our pregnancy as well.
We did. That was called Hello Bump. So we've done quite a few of these episodes.
Yep.
So welcome. If you're just coming and stumbling on it for the first time, if you're coming back, welcome back. Welcome back.
Do you even know what show that is?
Welcome Back, Cotter.
Yeah. Have you even seen an episode of that?
I don't know that I've seen a full episode. I'm pretty sure I've seen clips.
Man, I loved that show when I was in elementary school. Yeah. It was on, reruns were on TV Land at night.
It was one of your jams.
I loved it. Well, you know how I feel about John Travolta.
Right.
Yeah, he's a hedgehog.
Any hooters, welcome to the podcast. And today, we thought we'd actually talk about something a little more serious.
A little depressing, if you will.
Yeah. Post-weaning depression. Now, we've sort of talked about some depression and things like that
before.
Postpartum and all that.
With anxiety, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we feel this might be a little different because we've been going through some of it in our house, haven't we, Angela?
Firsthand, yeah.
You can step up to the mic there if you want.
Oh, I thought I was pretty close. We've had some firsthand experience with this particular topic. And if you've never heard the term post-weaning depression, you're not alone. I never heard of it before. You probably had never heard of it before.
No, I've heard of postpartum depression.
Yeah, but never post-weaning depression.
Yeah.
And I guess it hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to talk about today. My experience with it and kind of signs that you should watch out for if you are, in fact, planning to wean in the future. And even with friends, like if you're having friends who are breastfeeding, like just things to look out for, because I did not know it could happen. And I wish I had somebody who had gone through it to like,
yeah,
tell me.
Okay. Well, let's hop into it and then we can just talk about your experience. Disclaimer, we didn't really set up the episode in any way. We didn't write any notes down. We didn't structure out this episode. So really, this is just going to be a pretty off-the-cuff discussion about what Angela's been experiencing lately. So
yeah,
buckle up and and we'll be right back. Roll that intro. This month, ButcherBox is offering the ultimate breakfast bundle. This includes 2 packages of bacon and 2 pounds of breakfast sausage, all free in your first box. Their bacon is some of the best bacon you have ever had. It's Whole30 approved, uncured, nitrate, and sugar-free. The sausage is a healthy, authentic version of a classic-style pork sausage, simply seasoned with salt, pepper, and sage. And right now, new members will get 2 packages of bacon and 2 pounds of breakfast sausage added to their first box for free. Plus, you'll get $20 off your first box. Go now while supplies last, as this is a limited time offer. Guys, I can tell you, me and Angela do love ButcherBox. We've ordered their stuff, and it is some of the best meat delivered right to our doorstep. It's so simple and in like the highest quality. You really can't go wrong. Get the ultimate breakfast bundle. That's 2 packages of bacon and 2 pounds of breakfast sausage for free in your first box, plus $20 off your first box. Go to butcherbox.com/hellobaby or enter the promo code HELLOBABY. Again, if you go to butcherbox.com/hellobaby or enter the promo code HELLOBABY. All right, so we're back, ready to talk about this happy topic of depression. So
happy to be out of it. Happy to be on the other side of
it. Well, I mean, that's, I guess, for the most part. That's also something to talk about. Like, are you out of it? You know,
yeah.
You know, this is all new to you, and
it is.
This is,
and it's not where we're at right now. I'm not completely solved, but I do feel like my darkest days are behind me. I feel like that. I feel positive in that way.
So why don't we just go back and just sort of like fill people in? Mm-hmm. You know, we took a month off previously. Didn't have anything to do with this, actually. It just happened, like, coincidentally happened to be, I guess, good timing.
Yeah.
You know, because it gave us a break and gave Angela a break. And it was just kind of one less thing, you know, factor of like responsibility that we had to worry about. Doing the podcast and like getting it done and getting it out on time and all that. Yeah. We were just able to kind of step back and just kind of handle some stuff here. So
I actually chose to step back also from all things Hello Gorgeous this past month, just because my health became so front and center for us.
Yeah.
That it was like, I couldn't really focus on doing anything else.
Yeah.
But
okay. So let's go back.
Yeah. So like to go back, I didn't really suffer from postpartum depression when I first had McKinley. Day 3, I had the moody blues that everybody, I think most every mom gets.
Where, we talked about this on the podcast already. Yeah,
where I just cried uncontrollably. I couldn't help it. And once I got those tears out, I was okay. Like, and I bounced back immediately. Like around week 3, I had some really sad days because my mom left, and that was on nights, and I felt very alone. And it was just sadness out of like, I don't know what to do. What have I done to my life kind of thing. But those were so momentary and so fleeting, and that I just kind of felt like, okay, it's behind me. And I never had any more postpartum depression after those 2 experiences that I'm thinking of specifically. That 3rd week, there were days where I cried in the shower. I cried holding a baby in a crying, screaming baby in a closet because she wouldn't nap. And I'm crying too because I'm just so exhausted. And honestly, that 3rd week, I think it was just exhaustion more than anything. After that, I did not have postpartum. And I just assumed that that meant that it was over, that I kind of, served my dues, and that was it. This really blindsided us, all of it. So back on January 22nd, just of 2019, I got a UTI. And I think we actually talked about that on one of the podcasts. When I got the UTI, obviously I had to start antibiotics because I was so, it was already like a full-blown infection. And in doing so, I decided it was time to wean McKinley. It was already a topic of conversation. It wasn't like a, oh my gosh, it wasn't like a off-the-cuff decision. She was fighting me so hard on nursing that she did not want to nurse. And like, even to get her to even want to nurse, it was a battle. So it just felt like more trauma than positivity, I guess. So I decided that with the antibiotic, then, you know, I'll just go ahead and wean her. It was the week of her 13 month anniversary. Oh my gosh, 13 month birthday. So she would have been turning 13 months that week. And it felt like a good time because I made the 12 months. That was my goal. And she was done and I felt good about it. So that was that. I never had any issues. I had already slowly weaned her down anyways. It wasn't like I was nursing her 5 times a day and went cold turkey. She was down to 1 night feed a day and that was it. So I never got, engorged. I never got mastitis. I never got any infections. It was just fine. And I've had my period back since she was about 6 months old. Even when I was exclusively breastfeeding, I I already got my period back, which is just so unfair on so many levels.
Because you're not supposed to, right? Or not, I shouldn't say not supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just
majority
general consensus is that you don't get your period back until, you know, you're done breastfeeding. Not me. So that happened. And unfortunately, that week that I got the UTI turned into 8 weeks of being sick. Like, every time I was sick, it would roll into something else. And then into something else, and then into something else. Like, I just couldn't catch a break. And I don't know if, like, the weaning, like, impaired my immune system. I don't know what happened that I literally went from a UTI to a cold to a stomach virus to bronchitis, then back to another UTI, then back to the like, chesty cold again. Like, it was just nonstop. So after my second round of antibiotics for a UTI, I then developed what seems to have been like situational IBS. Like, I was really going through some IBS pain. And I know what that is because I was actually diagnosed with it about 10 years ago. And I know all the right things to do, and I did them. And it just took a couple weeks of like gut healing to get back on track. I cut out gluten, I cut out sugar, I cut out caffeine. I went on a super high dose of probiotics, 400 billion a day. And that is what actually ended up healing my gut. And I didn't even do the whole full 5-day dose. I didn't have to because I did like 3 days and I was back to normal. So I'm no longer having any of those stomach issues. But then as soon as I felt good and like everything was good and everything was normal, out of nowhere, I started not sleeping through the night. It started with me waking up at 3:30. And when it happened the first night, I thought, oh, no big deal. But then the next night, I woke up again exactly 3:30, and then the next night, and then the next night, and it turned into a real thing. And after multiple nights of not being able to sleep, I took 2 at Tylenol PM one night in particular, and at 2:30 in the morning, I woke up with a full-blown panic attack. And I now know that it was a panic attack, but at the time, I wasn't sure what was going on with me, what was wrong. But like when I could sit there and like calm my thinking down long enough to like really assess what symptoms I was feeling, I was able to say, I think this is a panic attack. And Matt got up with me and sat with me and calmed me down. It was one of the more scary nights I've ever had in my life, I would say.
Well, because when you have a panic attack, it literally just feels like you're going to die.
Yeah.
And I was able to sort of recognize that in her too, because I've been having some panic attacks over the last year. I've been kind of going through some of that same type of stuff. So I knew it, and I know the symptoms and how it feels and all that kind of stuff.
I feel like you took one look at me and you knew.
Yeah. And then, but what's interesting about Angela, she is not prone to anxiety or depression or panic attacks or anything. It had never happened for her at all.
Never.
She's just not.
Or sleep issues.
Yeah, she's just not that type of person. So
just very even keeled all the time.
Yeah, so it came out of nowhere for her, and it was super scary.
It was really scary. So the next day we get up and we go to our primary doctor, and
like that's how terrible you felt, especially at that point. You know, whether it was like the no sleeping and all of like the sicknesses that were just beating your body down, or whether it was like the panic attack that sent you over the edge. After that happened, you were just like, okay, I'm seeing a doctor. I can't wait. We have to go to a doctor tomorrow. But that is how, you know, having panic attacks and stuff will make you feel. I mean, it literally makes you feel like you're broke. You're crazy. You're broke. I mean, you described your mental state too, that you felt crazy. You mm-hmm. felt not of yourself. Mm-hmm. You felt totally out of control. You can't control your thoughts. You can't, you know, and that's all like right up the alley of anxiety and panic attack.
So, well, actually, funny enough, the night that I had the panic attack, the day prior, I had been to my OB and she did a full blood panel test on me because the no sleep was already weighing on me. And I went into her because I was actually waking up with night sweats. And I went into her and I said, listen, this is going to sound crazy, but I feel my body feels as though I'm going through menopause. I'm having night sweats. I can't sleep. I'm losing weight. I had lost 10 pounds at that point.
Yeah. In a matter of like 3 weeks.
Yeah. And I'm
already like, small.
Yeah. I'm now, I mean, at that point I was, and I'm actually not much more than that right now, but considerably underweight for my height. She just decided to do a full blood panel test on me, and she said she gave me a prescription for Ambien, which I didn't take, because I'm just like, I don't want to put a Band-Aid on this with medication. I want to be able to like figure out the root of the problem and then fix it. That's what I want.
Well, you're also not like a chemical medication taker.
No.
Neither am I. Neither of us really like taking synthetic chemical, you know, medication.
No, I'd much rather take a supplement if it's available.
Yeah.
I'd much rather try that first, at least I should say.
Right.
So that all happened. That night I had a panic attack. The next morning, went in to see our primary doctor, and he just, I mean, he didn't even examine me or anything. He just was like, you have post-weaning depression. I know that because my wife went through the exact same thing. And, but it was actually at a year and a half with our baby that she went through it, and it had to do right after she'd weaned. And I'm like, but I weaned 2 months ago. And he's like, it doesn't matter. You can go through postpartum issues for up to 3 years after you have a baby. I'm like, that's comforting.
And that's not really something that we had even thought. That wasn't even on the radar. You know, because we didn't even know. We'd all, obviously, I think probably all of us listening have heard of postpartum depression, but the post-weaning depression is not something Angela had heard of, or you know, so it wasn't even a thought.
No. And I had gone into my OB first because I knew it was probably something hormonal, that, and I knew it probably had something to do with weaning, with my body trying to adjust and get back on track. But I couldn't really figure out what it would be, since I have been having my periods now regularly for almost a year. So he talked about different options with me, and I'm just like, I don't want to go on antidepressants. I don't want to do this. So he gave me a prescription for sleep, which I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And he just basically left it like, all you need is sleep. If you can get 3 nights of solid sleep in a row, I really feel that you can like kind of like overcome this and get back on track. Which now, as I'm hearing those words, if I would have just listened to him, maybe that could have been true. But I didn't listen to him. So the next day after that, I was very low. Emotionally, I was so depressed. And I've never, and I can truly say to you before that I have never felt depressed before that point in my life. Like, even postpartum, even when I was, you know, going through the huge transition of having a brand new baby and not having any help, I was nowhere near as depressed as I was, you know, when I was going through this post-weaning stuff. And it was alarming to me how much the bad thoughts seeped in. And I wasn't suicidal. I don't want to make it sound like that. That's not where I was. But I was having thoughts of, you know, what is the purpose of all of this? Like, what is the reason for life? And I'm a Christian. I know that, you know, that's not the way that your thoughts should go at any point. But it felt like I was so out of control of my mind and so out of control of my thoughts. And I was having thoughts of like, if I could just get away and have an apartment by myself, and Matt and McKinley could do their own thing, like I would be better off. Like, that's where I was. And that sounds so horrible to like voice that, but I couldn't. It was as if like I just like couldn't rationalize life or my life or the responsibilities that I have or anything. I was just in such a dark, dark place. And that was scary for me.
It's like every thought felt overwhelming for you. Every the thought of any responsibility felt way too overwhelming.
It was awful.
Yeah.
And you actually that day called your dad and said, hey, we have some, and just having some issues going on, and explained everything. And he actually got on a plane that day and flew out to be here to help with McKinley, because like, as much as, I mean, I don't want to make it sound like I was laid in bed all day not doing anything, because that's not how it was. I was still very much, you know, actively taking care of her and doing things. But it was the thought of like, if we could have an extra set of hands right now, I was just so fearful of having another panic attack. That's mm-hmm. what I was. I was yeah. fearful of being in that crippling, anxious state, and you not being able to help me or be there for me, because who is going to then take care of the baby?
Yeah.
That's where I was.
Yeah, sure. I mean, just the thought of having some extra hands can help take the anxiety down a notch. And obviously when you're you know, state of mind, you're going to do anything you can do to try to ease the overwhelming feeling or the anxiety or anything. So
yeah,
I called my dad. He was fortunately able to drop everything and came out and really helped out that week.
It was such a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think he came out on a Wednesday. On that Thursday, we went and saw our counselor, which we've talked about that we get counseling from time to time, you know, if we have any like situations going on, or even just like for wellness of our marriage, we like to go in and just, you know, get some godly counsel. I think it's so healthy.
Yeah, just to go in and like find out like why you're wrong.
Yeah. So I had texted her. Shut up. So I had texted her, our counselor beforehand, and I said, you know, I've been diagnosed with post-weaning depression, and I'm just going through a lot. So on the way over there, I felt heaviness. I had so much heaviness in me, and I felt that I didn't know who I was. Like, I didn't recognize the person that I have become at that point. And she opened the door and she said, and she greeted us and she said, I'm so glad you called me. She was like, post-weaning depression is a real thing. And it's something that nobody talks about and there's not enough information about. And it, like, we're just walking back to her office at this point and I'm already crying. Like, I'm already like crying. And I don't cry.
Mm-mm. Angela's not a crier.
I just am not a crier. But like, I just felt like my emotions were so out of control. And it was like I couldn't control how I felt, mm-hmm. how I reacted, what I thought. I just felt like I was like a captive to my mind, to my negative mind space, headspace. So we got, she sat down with us for about an hour and a half and went through everything with us. And it was the most cathartic, is that the word I'm looking for? Mm-hmm. Healing.
Yeah.
Session. And the reason that I went in the first place is because at one point I said something to Matt and he looked at me, he goes, I think you need to get some help. I think you need to go talk to someone. And I'm so glad you said that, honestly, because I had no idea how bad I was. I had no idea how negative I was. I had no idea how down I really was. I felt it, but I didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew it enough to admit it, though. I knew it enough to say to you, I'm depressed. I'm down. I'm depressed. Something's not right. I feel like I have a hormonal imbalance. Something's going on here. So anyways, our counselor's a prayer warrior.
Yep.
She just really prayed with us and talked us through it so much. She prayed over me. Matt prayed over me. And at the end of the session, we were done praying. She just said that my eyes look brighter, and you actually said the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That I just looked, I don't know, is that like more alive? Like what does that even mean? My eyes look brighter, like happier?
Like physically, they did look brighter. Just more like life.
Like I had hope.
Yeah, just more life behind your eyes, you know?
I know up until that point, I felt so hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
I really did.
Yeah.
I walked out of that appointment feeling like the world had been lifted from my shoulders.
Yeah.
I went home that night hoping that I would sleep. I did not sleep, but I felt better and I felt like there was hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, you know, I can do this. So we've since seen her one other time. And
because you had a little setback.
I did have a setback. And I actually plan to see her one more time anyways, at least just to like talk things through and make sure that she feels that I'm healing the right way and I'm doing the right things, because I have a really, really bad habit of negative self-talk. And I think everybody does to a certain extent. I mean, does anybody like truly love themselves so much that you never get down on yourself?
I don't think so. One of the things that our counselor was saying, she was just like, especially when you're in, you know, this state of kind of depression and anxiety. And that's one thing you really need to be careful about is the negative self-talk. Like, for example, it could be the smallest thing, but it's just allowing a little bit of negativity to seep through into your life, just cracking the door for a little negativity. Like for an example, she gave us was, she said, you know, I was talking to my husband the other day and she goes, oh my gosh, the drive to work, it's just killing me. And she goes, I stopped myself and said, wait a minute. No, this drive is not killing me. It's not fun, but it's not killing me. Why am I saying that? Why am I like letting that negativity in? And I don't know, maybe some of you guys are kind of rolling your eyes out there going like, okay, it's just a phrase. It's a form of expression. Yeah, you're right. And we totally understand that. But I do think that she's onto something just about, like, you know, we believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the power of positivity. And, you know, it's really a lot about just perspective too. You know, if you're sick, it's not like, I'm so sick, I feel so terrible. Maybe change that perspective to be like, I don't feel well right now, but I'm healing. Like, there's healing going on inside my body.
Mm-hmm. She actually,
and I will get better. I'll be better soon. You know, yeah. Just stuff like that. Just changing.
It's positive self-talk. Like, I spoke to Alana, our sleep consultant, that she's actually been on the show for McKinley, because I spoke to her for myself because she's a sleep expert. And she said that, you know, you really need to have positive self-talk and telling yourself, I am a good sleeper. I will sleep again. This is just the season that I'm in. And our counselor.
That's the other thing, that when you're going through, and I guess I'm coming from a place of experience as well, when you're going through this anxiety and depression kind of lulls, it doesn't feel like you're ever going to get out. It's
no,
weird.
No, it feels like this is your new normal.
It's like the darkest, darkest cloud that hangs over your head. You can't see out of it. It's like
you can't see past it.
It's like you're in this dense fog of like depression and negativity, and like you can't. It's crazy how it controls you.
It truly does. And our counselor quoted Proverbs 18:21. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." And that's true.
So Angela and I found out about this company called Paint Your Life online. You can get a portrait hand-painted from any photo at an affordable price. When our painting arrived, we were honestly blown away, weren't we, babe?
We were. It's beautiful.
It was truly beautiful. And I think that's because the photo was beautiful. It was actually a photo of our honeymoon. So it was just a really, really cool photo, mm-hmm. and also a meaningful photo.
Yeah, they just brought that moment to life for me.
Absolutely. We were thinking, man, this would be a great, great gift. You can have an original painting of yourself or your kids or family or a place or whatever at an affordable price. Go to paintyourlife.com. It's just a meaningful thing. It's a great gift for your mom, mm-hmm. maybe, or your parents, mm-hmm. For anniversary or Mother's Day. You can choose the artist whose work that you most admire. There are world-class artists on there, and you can even work with them throughout the process, you know, until the details are just perfect. There's no risk, by the way. If you don't love the final painting, the money's refunded. And it's just great. It's great for decor. It's a work of art. And with Paint Your Life, you get your favorite memories transformed into a work of art that will be cherished forever. Right now, as a limited time offer, you can get 30% off your painting. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word BABY to 797979. That's BABY to 797979. Text BABY to 797979. Message and data rates may apply.
Words have so much power, and it doesn't matter what religion you are or non-religion, whatever. It's true. Like, words are so powerful. Think about, you can break someone's heart with your words. You can make somebody's day with your words. You can, you know, change somebody's life with your words. They're so powerful, and yet we don't even consider that when we're doing our self-talk. And I'm particularly really mean to myself, and I know that, and that's one thing that she's really wanting to work with me on, is that I'm so driven to keep commitments to everyone else and to make everybody else, what's the word I'm looking for?
Happy?
No.
Like you?
Yeah, that's a really big
approve
one for me.
Approve you?
Yeah, it's just to keep everybody from being, you know, just to keep their expectations high of me. But for myself, I'll make a commitment to myself and I'll never follow through on it. So one of the big things that I've actually started to do and I have committed to doing is exercising through this. And that's been so positive for me. Mm-hmm. So positive, because this past week in particular, I've not been great about it, just because we've had other things pop up, but I've been training with a trainer 3 days a week for an hour each time. And then on the off days, I've been taking either a yoga class or I'll go to the gym and get on the elliptical for 30 minutes or whatever.
And if you're experiencing any of this too, you don't have to go to a trainer.
No. That's just what I chose to do because my posture is so bad.
Yeah. You can just get out and move.
Yeah.
And that'll help.
Yeah. And that's another thing, is we've been taking walks daily with McKinley. Mm-hmm. I have just noticed And we're really working on my mindset here. By we, I mean Matt and I, because I have noticed that I'm immediately happier when I'm outside right now, when I'm doing something, anything outside of our house. And it's like I've just connected a negative connotation or negative expectations for myself when it comes to the house, because that's where I feel like all of this stuff started for me. Mm-hmm. And we're really working on praying through that, because home is supposed to be home. It's supposed to be our place of comfort.
Yeah.
And so I've done a couple of things just to change that, specifically to our bedroom. I bought fresh flowers.
Just to literally change the appearance and the feel of the room.
Yeah, to make me happy when I walk in.
Yeah, and just to change it up, because for weeks now, Angela's been unhealthy, and prior to her getting sick and UTIs, I mean, I had a stomach flu. It feels like the house, you
February
know,
our
house
horrible.
Has been really sick lately. And I think that's kind of what she's talking about, is just trying to...
My mom was sick before she left.
Break that chain.
And right when all of this transpired, like emotionally for me, my mom left to go to Ohio to have a hysterectomy. And I think that also was a huge hit for us too, because I had that extra support system here with, okay, I have Matt and I have my mom. And when mom was gone, it was like, okay, our safety net, our extra set of hands, our extra set of comfort and support is not here. And maybe like subconsciously, that's where some of this was stemming from as well. But I've done things like I bought fresh flowers, and I have fresh flowers in my bedroom on my nightstand. I have fresh flowers in our bathroom, because I know this about myself. I associate our bedroom now with no sleep, and I associate it with being sick and being anxiety. Stuck in bed and anxiety. And I associate our bathroom with being sick, mm-hmm. with us both having that stomach stuff that we had. Mm. Like I would walk in and into our bathroom, and the first thing I would think of is throwing up. And anybody who listens to this knows that that's like my worst fear ever. And it's like, we have a beautiful bedroom, a beautiful house, a beautiful bathroom. Like, it's so stupid that we've lived in this house for like 1,000 days or something like that when you think about it. And one day, one experience that wasn't even a full day long, it was just so many hours, has like completely flipped up the way that I view these spaces in our home that's supposed to bring us comfort. So that's what I've been trying to do, things like I said, I've put in new flowers. We've not remodeled, just rearranged a couple things in the bedroom just to like make it feel new and
change it up.
Changed. And I've been opening windows constantly, letting the fresh air come through. And I've been diffusing oils, and I've been covering myself in all sorts of oils. And I've just been doing things that I think are going to help me. Throughout this process, I did get my blood results back, and I do have some low progesterone and I have some low estrogen. When I say low, it's not even enough for anybody to be alarmed. Like, it's not even enough to do anything about it.
Oh, really? I thought the progesterone was low.
It's low. It's labeled as low, but it's not alarmingly low. Oh. Like, my OB saw it and she goes, it's a little low.
Oh, okay.
And that was it.
Gotcha.
So I went to see a naturopath this past week because I'm like, okay, is all of this stemming from a hormone imbalance? Because I know my hormones are whacked out from not breastfeeding anymore. And they gave me a list of 12 supplements they want me to take daily, which maybe it's my mindset and where I am right, you know, I've been with what I've been going through, but that just overwhelmed me in and of itself. I'm just like, how do I incorporate all of these things and do it all at once? What if I have a reaction to one of them? How will I know which one it is? It just felt so overwhelming. I tried it, and I got the worst sleep ever of my entire life. And I'm just not convinced that I truly am deficit hormonally in a way that I need all of these particular supplements. So I've kind of started to take my health into my own hands and try to listen to my body and do things that I know that I need. For instance, I'm using the Young Living Progestins Plus progesterone oil. I'm using that day and night to naturally raise my progesterone. Because if I can do that naturally just with that oil, like, why do I want to put all those other supplements in my body? So I'm doing that. My thyroid was a little low, but it's still within normal range. So not enough to be alarming. So I've been using a little oil on my thyroid every day. It's called Endoflex. I've been taking, I started vitamin D actually today. I do know I'm D deficient, but like something like 90%. Did you know that like 90% of our population is D deficient?
No.
I'm very deficient and I know that. So I started vitamin D. I've been taking vitamin C. I started back on my multivitamin. I'm taking probiotics, taking magnesium at bedtime, taking, I'm getting ready to start back on my fish oil. I'm taking all the steps to do what I can to get my body as balanced as possible. But my stomach is better, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You haven't really had the issues.
No, but I'm still thin. Like I'm not really gaining the weight back.
Yeah, you need to gain
some weight. I did last week and then I lost it again. Like that, I'm fluctuating really badly. So at this point,
I'm checking around every corner looking for that butt and them boobs.
They might be gone forever.
They're
babe.
Not there right now.
Hey, you're stuck with my little boy body.
No,
sorry.
Come on.
Sorry. I have tried everything natural for sleep. I don't respond well to melatonin. For all those out there who are yelling melatonin to their audios, right? Their speakers or headphones or whatever. I don't respond well to it, but I did get a tip last night from somebody that if you don't do well with melatonin, because how I don't do well with it is that if I take it, I fall asleep, but then I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm ready to get up. And this individual told me, instead of taking it to go to sleep, try to fall asleep naturally, which that's, I can do that. It's that I'm waking up in the middle of the night and I'm waking up consistently at the same time every night. And she said to instead take melatonin when you wake up. So I'm gonna try that.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
Yeah, my doctor put me on Ativan for sleep, and
the anxiety with it too. Well, he tried Ambien.
No, that was my OB. She gave me Ambien, and I didn't.
Well,
take it.
When we were at our general doctor, he had mentioned a different sleep pill.
Yeah, it started with an R, and he said they use it on a lot of geriatric patients.
Right,
I can't remember the name of it.
It was something about like you literally cannot overdose on it.
Yeah.
Therefore, you know, there's no need to cause anxiety because obviously, you know, Angela and myself, again, we don't love taking medications. So he was like, well, if taking something new is going to give you anxiety, clearly that's not what we're trying to do here. We're trying to do quite the opposite.
Yeah.
So she said, well, the only thing that I have taken in the past that I know does work is Ativan. So he prescribed some Ativan, which is a anti-anxiety medication. And I suppose if you see it as a benefit, it also makes you sleepy.
It makes you relax enough.
Yeah,
to sleep.
Relaxed. Yeah.
He gave me a dose of 1 milligram and I have yet to take that because I just don't feel like I need it. And I don't. Like I can fall asleep on my own. It's when I wake up in the middle of the night, I toss and I turn and I toss and I turn. And then that's where, and then I'm shot the next day. I feel like trash. So I'm at the point now where I've given up and I've been taking a little bit of Ativan, but I have some new natural stuff in my arsenal that I'm getting ready to try. We have a lot of friends who've recommended CBD to us. So I'm definitely willing. I'm going to try, give that a try. I'm going to try the melatonin. I just want to get back naturally. Like if I can, I don't want to be on a medication. My OB does really think that going back on birth control could help me hormonally in basically every capacity. She doesn't want me to go on it permanently. She just wants me to go on for a couple of months just to get things leveled out and then come off of it again. I don't know how I feel about that. And Matt and I haven't gotten to have a really good conversation about it. We need to look at it and figure out. I will say it would be nice to not have to worry about getting pregnant, though, for, you know, a couple months.
Yeah.
Because I'm just not ready to get pregnant right now. That's just not where I'm at.
Right. But we just don't want residual effects of it. And then, like,
yeah,
when we do want to get pregnant again, then we have made this choice and like the birth control is still in you and we can't, you know, it's
although
kind of a big decision.
I had no problem getting pregnant and I was on it for 7 years, you know? So
yeah.
I don't know. There's just a lot of things that I've been offered and I'm just trying to figure out what's best for us.
Right.
Right now, it's just a good night's sleep. That's it. That's all I need. A good night's sleep. I mean, is it like, isn't it like night and day when I do take an Ativan and I actually sleep?
Yeah, I think
to
for
the day
everyone.
That I don't sleep.
If for everyone. I mean, you get sleep, you feel good. I don't know. I'm sure I don't speak for myself. When I don't get adequate sleep, I literally feel like I've been hit by a truck.
Yeah.
Like even to the point sometimes I'm nauseous and stuff. Like it's sleep is so, so important to my body.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that yesterday. I had slept terrible the night before last. And yesterday morning I woke up and I felt so crummy that I didn't even want to eat breakfast. Like, it was just like, and that's probably why I've lost the weight again.
Yeah.
Probably.
Because you did go through a phase where you weren't eating much at all because of that, the IBS or, you know, whatever you were experiencing. You were eating like possibly a potato at night. And it's just like, that's not going to
I don't do that. I was just literally doing whatever I could to put some nutrition in my body, but keep my stomach calm.
Yeah.
I hate antibiotics, man. I hate them.
Yeah, they mess you up.
In the midst of all of this, I also somehow got a vaginal infection. So that was fun too. So I've been a train wreck. I've been a ball of train wreck.
Yeah. It's not been fun.
No,
recently.
It's not. Like, it's literally been one health thing after another, mostly physical and a little mental. And I'm ready to get back to being me. I'm so ready to get back to being me. The thing that I want to talk about, though, about this post-weaning depression is that, so that was the backstory of how it all came about, is our counselor is 100% accurate. Like, when you try to look up information on post-weaning depression, you will find it. But the thing that's really frustrating to me is that it's all about the women who go through depression within the first couple of days of weaning, and they're depressed because they feel that they lost their bond with their baby. It's so much more than that.
It wasn't like that for you at
all. No, it wasn't like that for me at all. And in the people that I've talked to who have also experienced something like this or something similar, it's not been like that either. Like, and the only, I guess, solace that I've gotten from all of this is finding message boards online where people are talking about the post-weaning depression and they're talking about what they're feeling and what they've gone through. And so, and it's most of them that I was reading was that it was, you know, quite a bit after they actually weaned. But A, it was all hormonal. B, some of them were really, really dark stories, like really dark, like on suicide watch. And it was scary. It's scary to read that when you're in the throes of it yourself, because you're like, is that the next step that's going to happen to me?
Yeah.
It was scary. Right. And I just feel like there's no support out there for this. And it's really a shame, because it's like, there's so much about pregnancy and having a new baby and motherhood, parenthood, that people don't talk about as it is. This is something that's like, this is a mental health thing and people aren't talking about it. And I found that to be so discomforting. Like, I just couldn't find comfort in like knowing that I wasn't alone in this. Because I felt very alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's also what anxiety and depression does to you. It also makes you feel that way.
Yeah, I'm sure. But in this particular case, it's like, this was triggered by a hormonal event in my life, which people should be talking about.
Well, I did look it up on the internet, and I did find a few things, and there was an article that I thought I would share, and it's 10 ways to manage post-weaning depression. And so the number one thing is just know that it's real. Because it says post-weaning depression is not anywhere as frequently discussed or studied as postpartum depression, but it is totally as legitimate and it does deserve care and attention. And, they're saying that there is a growing awareness about it, but that the public really has still a long way to go. And the fact of the matter is a hormonal shift is a hormonal shift. So when it comes to, it's either giving birth, you know, and there's a hormonal shift, or after weaning your child, there's a hormonal shift. It's still happening. Mm-hmm. And either way, your brain is going to go through a tough transition period,
mm-hmm.
you know, as your body is trying to like find that equilibrium again.
Mm-hmm.
So number two, check in with your doctor.
We did that.
Yeah. Number three, it does say consider medication. You know how we feel. We just talked about it. But, you know, don't be afraid. You know, and if it
listen
means
to your doctor.
Yeah, if it means like finding an antidepressant, don't be too afraid for a couple of months or something just to kind of recalibrate.
It doesn't mean that you're going to need it for the rest of your life.
No,
and that's my biggest fear with Ativan.
We're not pushing that, and Angela actually definitely does not want to do any sort of antidepressant thing. So we're definitely not advocating that at all. But don't be scared of it if you feel like that is what you need. Number four. It's so funny because I haven't actually even read through these. I just saw that I felt like it was a valuable article and I wanted to read it, but it's all stuff that we've been saying. Number four, move your body.
Mm-hmm.
So exercise.
Do you know what I feel like really helped me the other day was that infrared sauna that I went and did.
Really?
Yeah. I felt like so relaxed.
Yeah.
So relaxed. I actually joined a gym throughout all this that has a steam and a sauna room. So I'm going to start using that more often for sure.
Number five, eat well, you know, brain foods, avocados, fish.
I don't think that I could have eaten cleaner when I was going through all the IBS stuff. Do you?
Well, the IBS stuff, you were also stressing your body out, I think, because you were trying to find why your stomach was acting up. And so she was trying to cut out things like gluten, and then she tried to cut out all sugar. And I think that you were caffeine. Just sort of adding more stress to your brain.
Maybe.
Kind of like last year, I was trying to do keto for a while, and it just got like, you know what? I feel like I'm adding more stress to my life by trying to think about the diet. What am I going to eat next? And can I eat this? And can I eat that? Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
Yeah, I can see that.
Try acupuncture, which is not something you did in the last couple of weeks.
No, I did it on Wednesday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Didn't help me.
No?
Nope. Yeah. I somehow got like some of the worst sleep that I've had in weeks that night. So it did not help me at all.
Well, this isn't exactly referring to sleep. This is an article referring to the depression.
Well, so I went there for sleep and for the depression, just the postpartum. I went there for hormonal support, which that's really what the depression's about. And I have to tell you guys a story of what happened while I was there. And Matt's going to absolutely probably freak out right now when I tell the story because I haven't told it to him yet. But while I was there, I had told her about my recurrent UTIs, and she goes, well, I'd like to do a pressure point for your bladder. So she does a needle right over your bladder, which happens to be my C-section scar. She couldn't get it into my scar because the fascia was, the skin was
scar tissue.
And she finally poked it through, and I jumped off the table because it was so painful. It felt like it went through to my bladder. I mean, I literally jumped off the table. I jumped so high that she screamed and she jumped. And when she took it out, I jumped again. Like, it was so painful. It literally felt like it was piercing through to my bladder.
Weird.
It was awful. Awful. And like I had every pressure point on my body pretty much. I had all the ones in my ears, my chest, my stomach, down my legs, down my arms. Like, I had so many needles in me. And none of them hurt. Like,
wow.
The bladder. It was awful.
That's crazy.
Awful. That makes me so scared if I have to have another C-section about how much scar tissue I have down there. Oof. The backs of my legs are hurting thinking about it.
Man. Number seven is be kind to yourself, which we did talk about, the positive self-talk.
It's just so hard, man.
I know.
So hard.
Number eight, get support from your partner. I think that's a given.
You've been so supportive. Like, honestly, I don't know if he would have been as supportive as he has been had he not also had some anxiety stuff himself in the past. But there is no way that I could have asked for a more supportive partner through this, because like, you've just been like my rock through all of it. So I really appreciate your patience with me.
Well, I think after experiencing a lot of that myself, it's like the worst thing in the world. So you feel sympathetic and extra, you know, empathetic towards it.
You're more patient with me than I am with myself. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Because I'm sick of myself right now. I'm tired of myself.
You're on your way up.
I think so.
Number nine, try nutritional supplements. Talking about zinc, you know.
That's one thing that I really want to add to my diet for zinc? Sure. More zinc, yeah.
I feel like sometimes zinc makes me nauseous.
It does make me nauseous. That's why I need to take it at bedtime. And I've not been taking it because I'm taking so much sleep-related bedtime stuff that I just want to be like careful.
Number 10, focus on the positive, which that pretty much falls right in again to the positive self-talk. You know, it says transitions are hard, but you will come out on the other side. It's a new beginning in a new way. So these are all things that you can do to help alleviate, you know, some of that depression, at least in your mindset. I found another whole article, and I don't really have to go through it, but it's just, again, validates post-weaning depression, and it's a real thing. And it's talking about the hormones. But it is talking about, you know, it's an end of a relationship, that bond.
That's what I mean. That's what everything points to. But it's like, I didn't go through this till 2 months after I was done weaning her.
Yeah.
So it wasn't an emotional bond break for me.
But I'm just saying it can be. According to this article, it can be all of that. But
I understand that traditionally that probably is. But like, I'm here to say like, it can happen and have nothing to do with you feeling like it's the end of an era or whatever.
Yeah, Right. I don't think your sadness came first and then depression set in. I think the depression just hit you with...
It hit me like a ton of bricks.
Because of a hormonal imbalance.
The sleeplessness is what started first.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing that I kept searching was post-weaning depression and insomnia. Insomnia after weaning, insomnia after breastfeeding.
Yeah.
And like when you get in there and you start digging around, there's a lot of women who have gone through this with weaning, that they're become insomniacs.
Mm.
And a lot of women talk about the fact that they just, ever since having a baby, they've become really bad sleepers and they've never recovered from that. And I refuse to accept that for myself. I refuse to accept that just because I had a baby doesn't mean I'm not going to ever get a solid night of sleep again, you know? And I think that that's what's so frustrating about it, is that I've talked to even people in my life that, you know, deal with bad sleep, and their answer is the same, is like, oh, you just get used to it. I don't want to just get used to it.
Right.
I don't want to accept that. That's, I don't know. In my mind, I keep telling myself, like, this is not God's best for me. That's what I keep telling myself. And I keep believing that,
yeah,
because I just believe that. I believe that God has better for me than 4 hours of solid sleep a night and feeling miserable the next day.
You know,
and there's so many verses in the Bible about rest, you know.
I don't want to come off like a religious weirdo or something like that, but we've also talked about, and with our counselor, because she is a Christian counselor, we've talked a little bit about kind of like a spiritual warfare thing happening,
yeah,
in our house right now. You know, I kind of went through some stuff last year, and then we made some decisions in our life about our family and like jobs and stuff that I would be, you know, taking or not taking. And we kind of,
it really took a toll on you.
It did. And we made these decisions with, kind of God at the forefront and tried to sort of follow what we thought his will for us would be. And
we prayed it out big time,
prayed it out. And we kind of put our trust in him. And, we think that, you know, we have since been honored for those decisions. And our counselor kind of, she's the one who sort of brought it up to us. She was like, I don't know if you guys are seeing this pattern here, but you know, you're kind of being attacked now, you know, not from this side and not from this side, but because you chose, you know, the honorable, righteous route, you know, evil is going to try to get its foot in the door anywhere it can. And I know that might sound kooky, especially to people who are not really Christians, but you know, there's an aspect to that, and to kind of that negative, you know, energy and all that sort of stuff.
I think that even people who are listening who aren't Christians, they believe in energies and spiritual stuff.
Yeah,
most people do. And you, as Christians, we 100% believe in a spiritual world. I mean, that's what it is. And we believe that, I mean, at least we do. I can't speak for every single Christian, but our form of Christianity that we are believes that you can definitely have negative spirits in your home and in your life. And
but when we say that, we don't mean like ghosts trotting around,
no,
like
we're not
haunting
talking about
us and
demons. Ooh. We're not talking about demons either, but we're talking about, like, you know, that you can just be experiencing things like that. So
yeah,
that's a very deep, very theological topic to get into, and I'm not a theological person at all. I can talk religion, you know, for hours with the best of them, but I'm not a theologian. So
yeah. I mean, so that's kind of like her story, our story. We're sticking to it. Really, we're still on the mend, and Angela's still trying to figure it all out and figure out how to get better day to day. And I think she's got moments where it feels a little worse than others and moments that feel a little better, but we're trying to figure it out and get through it. And that's our experience. And maybe that'll help you out too a little bit.
Just know that you're not alone if you're experiencing any type of postpartum, anything.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not outside of the realm of possibility for you, no matter where you're at in your postpartum journey, to all of a sudden get hit with it. Like, don't dismiss that notion, because I sure did at first.
You're not weird. You're not alone.
No.
You will get through it. There is another side.
And there is hope.
There is hope.
Man, like when you are in it and you just feel so hopeless and like that heaviness, like don't let it convince you that this is your forever. This is your new normal. It's not.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's kind of all for this episode. I guess, like I said, we didn't really structure it out, but it kind of seems like we talked about it and shared your experience. So
yeah, if you guys have any questions about any of this, feel free to DM us on Instagram at Hello Baby Podcast. This is a heavy topic, I know, and obviously we're not like medical professionals or anything like that, but if anybody else is going through this and, you know, you have any questions about what I've gone through, I'm happy to tell you. what I've done.
Or if you want to call into our Hello Baby voicemail, and leave some feedback and tell us your story. We'd love to hear it.
I'd love to hear that. I actually would love to hear from women who've gone through what I've gone through.
Call us at 323-544-3051. Leave a voicemail. We'll hear it and it might get on the show. And we would appreciate it. Hey, follow us over at Hello Baby Podcast on Instagram. Me at Matt Lantern, Angela at Angela Lantern. You know, we hope you stick around and hope you tune in the next one.
Yeah.
We love you guys. Thank you so much. And thanks for your patience through that time that we were kind of taking a small break. And just love you guys. We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.